Get ready for Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Listen in as Doug and Amy provide helpful tips on how to get ready for anything that comes your way. And now, your hosts, Doug and Amy.
Welcome to Ready Radio. This is our inaugural broadcast here on the Atlanta market, and we're glad to have you listening today. We are hoping to give you some information today about everything you're going to need to be ready for what's coming up next in your life and in the economy and in the world in general. We have a wonderful sponsor today with TruPrep. They've given us some great products to be able to showcase for you guys and just to give you a heads up on what's coming down the road. Now, of course, today is Halloween. I'm here with my co-host, Amy, and we are hoping to talk to you a little bit about all the things that go bump in the night and that are a little bit intimidating in your world.
Yep, this is so exciting. I am Amy, and I'm here with Doug, and we have a wonderful show for you. We have so many wonderful things to talk to you about, and we're glad you're with us and talking about Halloween. Happy Halloween to everybody, and I was wondering today if anybody out there is dressed up like zombies. So.
Oh, zombies have become very popular lately. You know, when I was a kid, it was more the Wolfman and the Mummy, but now everywhere you turn, it's zombies, zombies, zombies. The Walking Dead, both in the comic books and the TV. World War Z came out last year, although I missed
that.
It.
No, I saw that. That was great.
Was it a good movie?
It really was. I enjoyed it.
See, folks, I'm kind of new to the whole movie thing because my family moved down from Western Alaska where we had no movie theaters. We had to get everything from Netflix, and it took about 8 weeks for a movie to get to us. So I missed all of the stuff that came out last summer. But World War Z was good?
I liked it, yeah. I kind of looked a little bit like a zombie this morning as I was kind of getting ready. I had to get my coffee going, but I feel a little bit better right now. But yeah, I'm sure we're going to see a lot of zombies out walking around. My daughter, I have a daughter that's 14, and I'm, you know, she's kind of a zombie, you know, sort of as it is. So I think, you know, with a little bit of makeup, we've got it. She's got it. So,
you know, last weekend there was Zombie Fest up in Canton, and this coming weekend there's the Walker Stalker Con with all of the cast apparently from The Walking Dead.
Are you going? Sounds like fun.
I am intending on taking my family down there and seeing what it's like. It looks like it's going to be a big show. The one up in Canton was fantastic, and I know that TruPrep had a booth up there, so that was really cool to see too.
Yes. Yes, well, TruPrep has so many really cool zombie killers, I think, in the store. So all kinds of big, long blades.
Yeah,
out there.
Yeah, and everything you could possibly need is from what I've told. I've been to their stores a few times, and they've got food and water and shelter. You know, zombies are a great metaphor, and one of the reasons I think that we've seen a shift from the Wolfman and mummies to zombies is because they really do represent the fears of our society.
Yes, they do. Yes. Yeah, that's one of the things, too. Like, Walking Dead truly is one of my favorite shows. And Doug, I've got to tell you this. It's the funniest thing. It was on for a couple of seasons before. I wouldn't even give it the time of day. Just kind of flipping. I'm not a big TV watcher as it is, but just kind of flipping through the channels. It was my daughter who was watching it. And when I'm tired, I plop down. I'm watching the show. And I'm like, dang, this is pretty good. So, of course, I get sucked in and absolutely love it. But you're right. I mean, there's when you watch the show and you kind of see how there are no grocery stores open, and there's, you know, nothing is like it used to be, and you kind of think, well, what would happen if, you know, if that situation really happened? But you're right, it is an excellent metaphor for all of those horrible things that really do truly happen.
So let me ask you, Amy, when the grocery stores shut down, what's the most important things to have in your stockpile?
Oh gosh, well, thinking as far as water goes, I would say that would be your top priority, because we can live about 3 days without water and a little bit longer without food, but absolutely focusing on water. Not only that, just your canned foods are excellent to stock up on because you've got about a two-year shelf life on your cans. One of the things I love about my canned foods are the liquid that's inside, because I can actually use that to make rice with or something along those lines. I always, you know, look at maybe a good, well-stocked pantry just kind of start off with. But about us outside of that, I know that TruPrep carries a lot of freeze-dried foods that have a much longer shelf life.
Let's talk about your well-stocked pantry. Do you can?
Sure. That is something I have done a little tiny bit of, and I'm really looking to expand into.
You know, there are a lot of people in the metro area here who would like to be into gardening, but just don't have that opportunity because they live in apartments, they live in a subdivision where they get really cranky if you have a couple of goats or anything, or some chickens. So,
but are you speaking from experience there, Doug? I'm just wondering.
I'm not speaking from personal experience.
They call you the chicken man or something like that?
No, I am definitely not the chicken man. But I did know a gentleman who used to be known as the Roswell chicken man.
And
it can be trying to try to set up your own little sustainable homestead. So, I mean, as we look at the best way to be prepared for whatever's coming, having food stockpiled is a good idea because you aren't going to be able to grow your own. I've been watching The Walking Dead this season, mm-hmm. and I saw that they have a garden on the outside of the prison, and they've got some pigs, and they've got their produce that they're growing on site. That's not really an option for me in the back of my apartment.
Right. You know, I've heard container gardening is a great way to go, too. And vertical gardening is really pretty awesome. Classes along those lines would be something that's excellent. I know that I have definitely heard that True Prep is really working on, you know, some excellent classes, kind of going into the busy season and expanding into that sort of thing. But, yeah, you know, just kind of storing and stocking up on your food until you're able to get those little bitty seedlings up and growing, you know, if you do have a little bit of a container gardening. Let me tell you, I mean, if you have a back deck, it's pretty amazing what you could actually grow back there.
And we have a really good growing season here, too. I mean, mm-hmm. the winters you can grow kale and cabbage, and the summers you can grow corn if you have any space at all, or you can grow tomatoes, which are a great supplement for nutritional value.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you can get good nutrition from cans, but you can't get a fresh tomato to slice up for your, you know, homemade bread.
That's true. Doug, I got to tell you, though, I did not have a very good growing season, and I think it's because there just was so much rain. And, you know, one of the things that I really learned this season was, you know, that you can't really truly depend on, you know, your garden. So I'm thinking if you have enough food that's stocked up until you can get something sprouted and growing, you're much better off, because if you are relying on those little seeds, you know, you've...
It's a common problem for anyone who's into farming. I mean, I've got some family who are farmers, and I remember there was a casino that opened up not far from where they live. And I said, hey, guys, are you going to go up to the casino, do a little gambling this weekend, have some fun? And my cousin looked at me and said, Doug, we don't need to go to casinos. We farm. That's a big enough gamble every year.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So, you know, it's nice to have a garden. It's nice to have that kind of supplement. But when push comes to shove, maybe something that's more of a long-term storage solution is a better idea.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's so many people, they prepare for a certain amount of time. Some people just prepare for, you know, if there were maybe a tornado that came through and wiped everything out for a couple of weeks. And then we have, you know, other people that are very concerned about maybe an EMP that takes out the entire solar grid and you're down, very similar to like your zombie situation where you're out of commission for years on end, you know, which is not just something you see in the fictional books, but it's altogether, you know, a possibility. So if you are looking for that long term, you know, maybe possibly a couple years, you know, situation, then you definitely want to look at a you know, long-term food storage for sure.
One of the brands that I'm familiar with from Alaska was Mountain House. I mean, all of the grocery stores, all of the convenience stores had bags or number 10 cans of Mountain House because mm-hmm. they were very popular for people to put in their remote cabins. Do you know, does True Prep carry Mountain House?
They do. Mountain House has been around for quite some time. I know it's always been very popular with backpackers. My brother actually hikes, and he does the Appalachian Trail, and he likes to go light, and the freeze-dried foods with the Mountain House are extremely lightweight because all of the moisture has been sucked out of them. And they have a good long shelf life, too, of a good 20 to 30 years.
And they don't actually taste bad, which is surprising for something that's been freeze-dried and expected to last for 20 years.
You're right.
I mean, yeah. I remember when I lived up there, we were able to mix them with hot water. And my kids, you know, I got a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old. Even the 5-year-old, who's kind of like Mikey, he doesn't like anything. Mm-hmm. He would eat the Mountain House lasagna. Now, the beauty of it was not only does it keep well, but it also has a great flavor. And it's low cost per serving.
It is. It's very comparable to, you know, just the everyday grocery store foods that you do purchase. And I'm with you. I have a picky eater also. My my teenager, oh my goodness. I have actually snuck in some of the, you know, the different foods just to kind of see what they'd think. And you know, let me tell you, you know, there's some that Abby really, really liked. And some I got to tell you this, I have found a new comfort food.
Oh, really? What is it?
I have. It's because I do like to try the different flavors and that sort of thing. One of the comfort food, and you're not going to believe this. There's something called a seafood chowder that Mountain House makes, and I actually tried it because it said seafood, and I thought, oh my gosh, seafood, freeze dried seafood just can't be good. So I tried it. And it's like a creamy, it's like a very creamy New England clam chowder, if you've ever tried that. But let me tell you, it is my new comfort food.
Well, that's pretty impressive coming out of the can. Folks, we're about to take a commercial break. We appreciate you tuning in to Ready Radio, and we will be back in just a minute.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
Welcome back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. We're so glad that you're with us. I just wanted to let you guys know that for today, Doug came in dressed like a zombie. I'm so proud of him. If you guys could see him right now, he had like his ears falling off just like the commercial, and it's pretty impressive, Doug, I must say.
Well, thank you very much. I spent hours on sleeping in late all my life, and now that I have to get up early to come in and do the show, this is just my natural appearance.
A little coffee will fix that right up there, Doug. It helped me.
Yeah, maybe some instant coffee along with all those preps I have that I'm stockpiling. We were talking about food and your new comfort food when we left.
Yes.
What other sorts of preps do you think are important?
Oh, gosh, where do we start? I think there's a lot of things that are important, but one of the things that I personally have done has I've made a list of what I believe what my needs are. And because let me tell you, all it takes is, you know, for emergency preparedness in general, all it takes is a couple hours on YouTube and I'm overwhelmed.
So let me guess. I'm
sure.
Going to try to divine what's on your list. We've got an iPod, a cell phone, a big screen TV, some kind of thing you can plug it into in the back of your big SUV. Am I getting close?
No.
Oh.
You're nowhere close there, buddy.
Okay, well what sort of things do I need to have?
Well, Doug, what I would suggest that you have, first of all, is look at your needs. And you need air to breathe, you need water to drink, you need food to eat, and you need shelter and some way to defend it. So, you know, we all need toilet paper. That is a huge need on my list. But I also look at my list and see where does that toilet paper fall. So if I'm looking at maybe being a year, you know, without a grocery store or, you know, as a possibility, I'm not going to really maybe stock up my closet with toilet paper. I'm going to look at my water source first.
How do your needs change based on what your situation is? I mean, if we're talking about an ice storm where you're not going to be able to get to the store for 3 or 4 days, how does that change compared to if you're talking about all these zombies we're seeing walking around the studio today?
Well, gosh, there's a big change. First of all, I welcome a couple days, to be honest with you. If the roads were iced over, if I had a nice little fire, you know, going in my fireplace, I would kick back with a book. And let me tell you, I'd be in my happy place for a couple of days, to be honest with you, just to let everything slow down and stop. It's just fantastic. But if I start to see that my needs, that I can't get what I need, or even worse than that, I can't get what I need for my family, because I'm very much like a mama bear. You know, I'm the one that takes care of everyone. You know, you come to my house, you're going to get fed, you know, that sort of thing. And it's just for me to even conceive of being out of something that I just can't get or grow or, you know, get my hands on. It's quite worrisome.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think that we as a society have really become spoiled to the effects of having instant food, instant entertainment, and all of our needs met with just a swipe of a credit card. And when you start to think about how supply chains can be disrupted, and even something minor like a oil refinery going down, which you wouldn't think is something that would, you know, impact my life. You know, that's on the other side of the world. Well, then the price of fuel goes up and the price of transporting things goes up, or maybe you can't get fuel to a localized area. All of the food that we eat here in Atlanta is trucked in from somewhere. And if it's not being trucked in on a daily basis, how long will we be able to go without having resupply? And how much food do you keep in your house in order to, you know, be prepared? And that's really, you know, the emphasis of our show, is to get people ready for anything that can happen to them. This is emergency preparedness, you know, from the small scale, from the couple of days of an ice storm, to the big scale of a hurricane or a tornado or some other kind of government shutdown, whatever's going on that's going to disrupt our daily lives, even if it happens to be on Halloween when the zombies come out.
Right, absolutely. And one of the things, you know, that's like a nightmare situation. What if there's no Chick-fil-A?
I mean, my goodness, can you imagine? It'd be no. Like Sunday every day.
It would be. That's a really a horrible thing to think. Yeah.
We work really hard to try to provide normalcy for our families. And that's the goal of being prepared, isn't it? That we, on a daily basis, we know that our families will be taken care of. And granted, it may not be Chick-fil-A like we're used to. Mm-hmm. But we can find our new comfort foods in the chowders and whatever else that we've stockpiled. And you don't have to stockpile just freeze-dried cans. You can have the stuff that you use every day. You have your canned green beans. You have your Chef Boyardee. You've got mac and cheese. And when you start to be able to pull things together, you get a sense of normalcy even after a disaster.
Yep, absolutely. And that's so key. You really do want to kind of keep that normalcy, especially if you have, you know, your children or younger children. As far as like your foods that you are stocking up, you really don't want to stock up the things that you're not going to eat. I mean, that's kind of silly, but there are other ways. You know, of course, we talked about having, you know, sort of that well-stocked pantry. You know what? I've even heard that some of the newer homes that are being built nowadays, I mean, the kitchens are getting smaller and smaller because people are not cooking like they used to. And so many people eat out on such a regular basis that if you look in the normal household, there's just not much food there.
Have you looked at houses that were built 50 and 100 years ago? They used to have two kitchens. They would have a kitchen inside the house for preparing things and running these cook stove during the winter time, and then they would have a summer kitchen outdoors to keep the heat out, because cooking was an all-day thing.
Yep.
I mean, one of the big changes in our society is women in the workforce and fast and easy food, whereas before, somebody had to be home 8, 9, 10 hours a day just to make three meals for everybody to eat, because it took that much time to prepare.
That's right, and that's one of those things. I don't think that we understand the magnitude, I suppose, that if we're making everything from scratch, because there are still some people that are out there, and maybe even some of our listeners, you know, that are, you know, pretty big into cooking and that sort of thing. But as a whole, you know, we've forgotten, just like when you mentioned canning earlier, it's somewhat of a lost art. You know, just having a small garden, it's a bit of a lost art. But you know what? A lot of people that I talk to sort of in my circle, just with knowing what the different possibilities were in emergency situations, would much rather be self-sufficient as opposed to government dependent. And a lot of people are looking more into these homesteading types of things that really have become sort of a lost art.
Well, you know, it's good to be self-sufficient because, well, just look at the government over the last few weeks. We had a government shutdown. You know, who would ever have thought that the government would just go away? Well, poof, there you go.
Shocking.
They all took their vacation, went home, had a nice time, told us the world was ending, then came back and saved the day, apparently.
I know.
I mean, isn't
how that works.
Isn't that nice that everything is back on an even keel and we can all stop worrying once again?
I'll tell you, I sure am relieved. I got to tell you.
So we've been talking about food. You said that the basic needs are food, water, shelter, and obviously a way to defend it. So the next step would be water.
Sure. Actually, I would like to reverse those. That's one of the things that I'm thinking we probably should focus even more so on water, because the way you look at it is you really do need water more so than food. You can last much longer without food. But not only that, you're using your water not just to drink, but a lot of times you use your water to cook. If you have, let's say that you have some rice that you've put up, maybe you've used some Mylar bags with oxygen absorbers, which basically, and that's something that we can talk about, I'm sure we will in one of our shows, is some of the ways that you can sustain the life of your food. let's say that maybe you're cooking some rice. You've got to absolutely have water to cook that rice with.
So you've got water for drinking. You've got water for cooking. You've got water for hygiene. Mm-hmm. You've got water for cleaning because, you know, water is the best solvent we have. So you're going to use that for a lot of your cleaning needs as well. So we've got a whole bunch of different aspects that water takes care of. I go and turn on my faucet. I've got water. What's the problem?
Right. Well, you could. There could be a day when you flip up that faucet and there is no water coming out. So you have got to know where a water source is, and it might be maybe a lake if you're lucky.
Or the crystal blue waters of the Chattahoochee.
There you go. See, you could. problem solved.
There you go. Well, how do I get those Chattahoochee waters to be crystal clear? Is there a method that we can employ?
Well, Doug, I'm so glad that you asked. Why, yes, there is. Well, one of the things, you know, you absolutely must have a water source. After you have that water source, you must have a way to purify your water.
Now, is there a difference between water purification and water filtration?
There is, actually. There is a difference. The way I look at it, the way that I've kind of come to understand, water filtration I sort of see as taking the chunks out. So let's say that you maybe have, you know, like sand or grit or something like that. Let's say that you scooped up some lake water and it has, you know, some floaty things and, you know, some ugliness in it. And if you were to put it through a filter, it's going to look nice, but you might have those little things that you can't see that's extremely dangerous if you ingest them.
So I'm going to run over to Kroger and I'm going to get a whole bunch of Brita pitchers and I'll be set.
Yes, actually. Yeah, I wouldn't suggest that. You know, the Brita, those are, you know, cutesy, and they do pull a couple little things out that you could use, but that is not for pulling out serious water contaminations. If you're looking at bacteria, viruses, heavy metals, those sort of things, you need a heavy-duty, big-time filter such as a Berkey, which I know that True Prep does carry.
So Brita is more of a water conditioner than a real water purifier.
That's the best way to put it. Yes, absolutely.
All right, folks, we're coming up on another commercial break. I really appreciate you tuning in. You're listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
Welcome back to Ready Radio, everybody, and thank you for tuning in. I just wanted to let you all know that we do have a questions email that you can send questions to us, and we will answer them on the air. The address is questions@readyradio.net. Now, we've been talking about water, and one of the more important things with water is making sure that it's clean and fresh for your drinking. And I had brought up when, you know, discussing this with Amy, that I can just turn on my tap. But apparently, that's not good enough. In a lot of situations, you might not have water pressure, or I was thinking about a city called Adairsville. Mm-hmm. Does that ring any bells with you, Amy?
It does. What I remember, it seems like I remember things all over the news about Adairsville, and it was a hurricane, wasn't it, that came, a tornado, excuse me. I always get those two mixed up. My daughter still picks on me about that, which is rightfully so. But a tornado came through there, I believe, and wiped out the Adairsville Reservoir. And there was this great big picture from, I think it was from a helicopter view or something. There was just this big reservoir with the top part basically ripped off, and they were under a boil advisory for some time after that.
When I was looking up information on the Zombie Fest up in Canton last weekend, I saw on the Canton Municipal website that you can sign up for email alerts. And I thought, well, this sounds interesting. So I went to look to see what they would email me to alert me about. And one of the things was boil notices.
Aha.
Now, I first thought this was the coming of the next plague or something from the Book of Exodus. But in fact, they're warning me that every once in a while, their water system just gets contaminated and I'm supposed to boil my water. And that is just an exciting prospect for me.
Wait a minute. No, well, how else are you supposed to know unless you know to go to that website? Do they advertise it anywhere else?
I would imagine that they would put it on the news hope that people are watching the nightly news in order to pick up. But, you know, if anything like that comes up, we'll have it here on Ready Radio so that you're prepared for it.
Okay, thank goodness. Yeah. You know, it seems like I have heard multiple times about the boil advisories and gosh, I hope. Well, you know what? Actually, if you had a Berkey Doug, like the water purification that we talked about, if we were under boil advisory, would that do, or would you still have to boil the water?
With a Berkey, it has such good micron filtration, submicron filtration, that it actually gets out bacteria and viruses. It's one of the only filters out there that promises that in their materials. So if you had a Berkey, you'd be able to filter whatever water you're able to get. But I would imagine that if the water system was completely down, we would lose pressure, and then we're to the point of, how are you going to stockpile water? I mean, you can go and pick up a whole bunch of gallon jugs. You could have those stockpiled around your house, but there's got to be a better solution. And this brings us to our TruPrep product of the week.
No sounds? Wait, I'm waiting for a sound. Well, we need a TruPrep item of the week.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, there it is. I was waiting for it. Awesome. That just makes it official.
There we go. Well, this week we're spotlighting a product called the Water Bob, B-O-B. Now, I am assuming that this is not just some fat guy who comes and lays in your bathtub.
I hope not. But, Doug, it does have something to do with your bathtub. If you've ever seen the Water Bob, first of all, our listeners out there, I would love for you to get on the internet, pull up Water Bob. These things are pretty cool. Or even better, go to TruPrep.com, pull up Water Bob to see what we're talking about. This thing is so awesome. It's basically a big bladder that you put into your bathtub and fill it up with water, and it holds 100 gallons.
And so how many gallons does an average person need a day?
You know, I believe people need approximately 3 gallons per person per day just to be, you know, more comfortable. You can survive with a little bit less than that. But as far as we talked earlier, we needed it not just for drinking, but for cooking and hygiene and all those other things.
So at 3 gallons per day, a family of four, the Water Bob would supply all your needs for an entire week.
Yeah, I guess so. It's about 12 gallons a day. Yeah.
And so if you had a Water Bob, when you start to see that there are problems coming, you put it in your bathtub, you hook it up to the faucet, you turn it on full, you fill it up. Now, there are other sources of water in your home that most people don't think about.
Yes, like your neighbor's bird bath water.
Which you could use if you were running it through one of those Berkey filters.
Sure. But you wouldn't want to brush your teeth with it, I guess, unless you did.
You also have water in the back of your tanks for the toilets, mm-hmm. and that's clean
that's
water.
That's yummy. Uh-huh.
There's water inside your hot water heater, unless you went tankless, in which case you don't have that 40-gallon supply. But there's another source of water already stored in your home on a daily basis. So if you have access to a hot water heater with about 40 gallons, you've got another probably 20 or 30 gallons in the backs of the toilets, not the bowls, but the backs, mm-hmm. and then you've got 100 gallons with your Water Bob, you've got enough water to get you through probably a 10 to 14-day period in your home.
Yep, that sounds like a good deal to me. Now, the thing is, too, I think it's real important for our listeners to know that they cannot wait until all the water's been shut off and then rely on their Water Bob.
This is ready.
If there's a little red flag, you know, that's been kind of posted maybe on the news or something like that, and if you're concerned maybe that there is an emergency situation heading your way, that'd be a great time to fill up that Water Bob. And we actually have dogs. One of the things I love about the Water Bob is if I'm kind of busy and my bathtub is not so clean, or if my dogs are running by and I've got dog hair everywhere, the Water Bob is so much better than just filling up the bathtub, because it's going to keep all that yuckiness out. And there's even a pump on the top. If you've ever played with them, Doug, they're so cool because it has this little pump on the top that actually pulls the water out, which is pretty nifty.
Well, that's good. How much do these things sell for? Do you know?
You know, off the top of my head, I'm wanting to say they're about $25.
Well, that's with a pump as well. That's a fantastic value.
That's why it is our item of the week.
There we go.
Pretty awesome.
Now, as we're looking forward, there's an awful lot of information that comes from the government concerning boiling advisories and different notices that come out. I had heard, continuing on with our Walker theme as the people are piling up outside the beautiful windows here at our studio, that the CDC even warned us about zombies.
They did. Yeah, it was the craziest thing. I had to go to the website, you know, I had to see it to believe it, because, Doug, I was under the impression that that our government had no sense of humor whatsoever.
I remember that line from Men in Black where they were outside the house and said, "Are you kidding?" And Agent Smith says, "No, ma'am, we at the FBI don't have a sense of humor."
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. You're exactly right. And it's quite impressive. I really like it. It is. The CDC warns about a zombie apocalypse. It's pretty interesting.
And how, I mean, was this just a website that they put up, or did they go all out? How much do you think they spent?
Oh, it's our government. I'm sure they spent all kinds of money on it. But, you know, honestly, it did get people talking, and it was a little fun spin on it, and that's the thing. You know, we love and we poke fun at the zombies all the time, but they really did, I think, get people thinking.
From watching The Walking Dead, apparently when you poke fun, you should aim for the head. But
that's what I hear.
No, the government does spend an awful lot of money on getting people ready. There's ready.gov. There's a new, I think it's called CERT, C-E-R-T program, mm-hmm. where the government is reaching out to get community response, get people involved. I remember seeing on the signs over I-75, they would light up and say, September is preparedness month.
That's right.
I mean, we've as a society, we've really embraced the idea that people need to start taking care of themselves.
Yes, absolutely. And if you look at it as sort of a we and them, looking at it as the public as a whole and the government or the officials that take care of people when something happens, there's just too many of us, meaning the public. And you know, a lot of times people have to wait in very, very, very long lines to get help.
That's a great point about how long the lines are and the response time. The response time can be an extended period before there's any kind of help mobilized for any sort of disaster. Look at Katrina.
It happens all the time.
People, there's usually an outpouring of help and support. People come together in a time of emergency, but there's a lag time. And that lag time is what concerns me most, mm-hmm. especially with my family. I can't go 4 days without food. I don't want to go live in the Superdome. I want to take care mm-hmm. of my family. I want to give normalcy after a traumatic event so that my kids don't have to go through anything that disrupts their lives.
That's right, Doug. And that is why you are here sitting across from me and we are talking about this, because you and I both have a passion for this, a passion for emergency preparedness. And we really do, you know, we're caregivers. And we love those, you know, that were, you know, our family and our relatives and friends, and we don't want to be in that situation. So we have decided to become more self-sufficient instead of government dependent.
I'm really grateful for the people at True Prep and here at News Talk 1160 for giving us the opportunity to reach out to the community at large and start to work on educating people about what they can do to protect their lifestyle so that they don't have to go through a traumatic event either alone or without the supplies they need to get through it.
Absolutely. And the more people that actually do become more self-sufficient and prepared, the less that I have knocking on my door that I actually have to shoo away and say, hey, where were you these last couple of months? And why didn't you, you know, kind of stock up and get prepared? Now, I mean, that might come across as a little ugly, but, you know.
Well, it's that old children's story we would tell, you know, who baked the bread, who gathered the wheat, who did all the work, and now
right.
who's going to eat the toast?
Oh, yes, that's right. What was that? What was that children's story? That was a good one. That was, oh, the little red hen. Oh, it'll come to us. I'm sure after we take a break, we will look into that. We'll go and pull up those old nursery rhymes and those old stories but that was a good one.
The nursery rhymes are a good starting point. I mean, if you think about a lot of the nursery rhymes we tell our children, they're about horrible disasters. You know, ring around a rosy, pockets full of posies.
Oh, that's right.
About the Black Plague.
The Black Plague, that's right.
And it was a way to normalize things for the kids to understand this traumatic event that they mm-hmm. were going through. Well, we've kind of moved away from that. We now live in a society that keeps our children insulated from the dangers that are out there. And that's a great way to raise children. But in order to do that, you've got to be ready. You've got to be able to provide for them in their time of need. We're coming up on a commercial break, folks. We're on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town, and you're listening to Ready Radio.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
Welcome back. This is Doug and Amy, and we're with readyradio.net. That is the place that you can go and hear this multiple times. You can go and ask questions, because I know after listening to us. You might have some great questions for us, and Doug and I are very excited to see what your questions might be, and we will definitely cover those in our next couple of episodes. So, Doug, one of the things we were talking about, first of all, we figured out our nursery rhyme that we were kind of stumped on there for a second, and we remembered the content, but it was the Little Red Hen.
As you said, correct as usual, Queen Amy. It was very good there. I know it just slipped my mind. There are so many of them that are rattling around in there, and you think, you know, there's the Little Red Hen, there's the ant and the grasshopper. There are all these nursery rhymes that we end up telling our kids, and like we were talking at the end of the last segment, they were a way for people to teach their kids to cope with disasters. And here we are trying to get the word out again that we need to be ready for whatever's going to come next.
Yep, absolutely. And Doug, also, one of the things I was just thinking, I think it's a wonderful idea that this is a family thing that people do. That's one of the things that my family does. And to have kids involved in the process of emergency preparedness, I think, is just so key.
As you look at other cultures, that is the way that it is done. It is done as a family unit. When I lived in Western Alaska, I used to live up in Dillingham, and out there, the people would fish together. When the salmon season came, the men would be out there, the women would be out there pulling nets, the kids were cleaning fish, grandpa was helping smoke it, they were canning it to put it up. When berry season came in, I took my family, we were out there picking, they called them huckleberries, but they're basically blueberries, out to midnight when the sun was still high in the sky. And it's amazing how well the kids get into it. There are certain activities that we as humans are just made for.
You're right, yeah.
Hunting and gathering are key to our existence, and we have lost that in today's society.
Yes, absolutely. You're right. And kids really want to have that sense of worth. And when they know that they're doing something for the family that really does matter, you know, they tend to grow up a little bit faster than, you know, all of, you know, I have a 20-something-year-old son. And, you know, for a lot of the older teenagers and young 20s, you know, who are spending a lot of time on video games and, you know, things like that, they just don't have that sense of worth, I think, sometimes. But you know, kind of if you bring these younger kids in and even like your younger and then your teenagers and just have them, you know that when they're like the little ones are gathering those sticks to make a fire, they really are contributing to the family.
It's one thing to tell your kids to go clean their room. It's another thing entirely to have them pick berries, take and jam, preserve it, and then at Christmas time give it to their grandparents and say, we made this as a family from beginning to end. It gives it an entirely different value. You know, as parents, we're thrilled when our kids draw us a picture. How much more thrilling is it for them to contribute something that is not only beautiful, but useful?
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. And that's the thing, too, just with emergency preparedness as a whole. I know that in the past, you know, it's been kind of looked at, you know, with your head cocked a little sideways and your one eyebrow raised up like that. And you know, you're kind of looking at the people with their little tinfoil hats, I suppose.
I can sum this up
in
two letters and one number.
Oh,
Y2K.
Oh, nice.
I mean, I have a story about Y2K. Okay, this is my intro to prepping.
Oh,
I'd
like to
hear it. When I was, it was New Year's Eve, 1999 into 2000.
I remember, yeah.
I had the worst bout of flu I'd ever had in my life.
Oh, no.
I was so incredibly sick. I could not even drink water without getting nauseous.
Oh, goodness.
And we had pretty bad water. So I sent my poor wife, I said, go to the store, get me some distilled water, and I will sip it quietly. So she ran to the store just before they closed and grabbed 1 gallon of distilled water and went to the checkout. And the checkout clerk looked at her and said, you know, ma'am, I just don't think this is going to be enough water for Y2K. So that was eye-opening moment, I think, for a lot of people when they started to see these people who are out there with bunkers and big buckets of food, and they're, you know, got batteries and they're wrapping their cell phones in tin foil. I mean, for the EMPs, of course,
sure,
right? Not for aliens or any other purpose. But there's got to be this persona that people who want to be prepared are somehow nuts, and it's being fostered out
it
there.
Is. It is.
You know, reality TV. With reality TV, we can all agree, has no basis in reality, right?
For the most part, yes.
So they go out and try to find the most extreme human beings they can to get you to watch. And it works. I mean, we all like to watch, you know, it's kind of like slowing down for the accident on the side of the road. And you look and you say, my goodness, I'm so glad that I'm not in that position. And there are TV shows out there that push that kind of mindset that they're, you know, these are the extremes. But what we're talking about today is not the extreme. It's about just being ready for what could happen.
Exactly. And you're right. It's not the extreme. It's more mainstream nowadays. It's like, you know, in some of those shows you were talking about, one of them being Doomsday Preppers, which I actually enjoy watching. But let me tell you, you know, that show is put together for entertainment. You know, they I'm sure that after hours and hours and hours and hours of footage, they go through and find the ones that make the people look a little wacky, you know. But let me tell you, they've got some pretty good ideas on there sometimes.
Well, you know, every once in a while there is something that's useful no matter what venue you're pulling it from.
Right.
But as we start to get people more into what I would like to call sustainable living, mm-hmm. or some sort of long-term plan to be able to weather any storm that comes. We're not talking about people who are buying the missile silos and putting up, you know, K-rats from the Army. We're talking about people who are interested in having canning, about learning how to garden, about learning some basic medical techniques.
Yep.
So that when something happens, they can take care of themselves. I mean, we've been conditioned to look to the government, a government that, you know, shuts down at the drop of a hat. We've been conditioned to say that, oh, when I go to the store, there will be stuff there. I've been to grocery stores that were wiped out, not just wiped out because there's an ice storm coming and everyone went and bought their milk and bread, but we've had, where I lived, we had bad storms. Everything came in by barge, which meant 3 months of the year you'd get food, and the other 11, you know, months of the year you were dependent completely on airplanes. And if there was a bad winter storm, the airplanes couldn't get in, the shelves were bare.
Oh, yeah.
And when everything is gone, not just milk and bread, not just this and that, when everything is gone, where do you turn?
Yep, you're exactly right. And one of the things, my true hope for our listeners is that it's not something that they wait until the last minute. Because let me tell you, I really hate it, but that's the majority. The majority of the people out there will wait to the last minute till something bad is going to happen or has happened, and then scramble in a frantic scramble looking for the necessities just to sustain life. But people who actually do go ahead and see that there is a need out there. I mean, if you look at our history books, they are littered with just emergency preparedness situations where you need to be prepared for something, and it happens, and it's going to happen. Again, we're just, you know, just not sure if it's going to be you or me or our listeners. But if you are prepared ahead of time, then you're not, you know, throwing the elbows like on Black Friday, you know, looking for that loaf of bread
and suffering from price gougers and all the other things that go when you have extremely high demand and very low quantities of goods.
Exactly, because I guarantee if you go out there today and look for a diesel generator, you're probably going to be just fine in finding one. But after the fact, good luck.
We look at all of these things that can happen. And we've been talking about more of the natural disaster mm-hmm. side of things. And we've been talking about the zombie hordes, which are massing up outside the window
right now.
They
are. They're pounding. And they're, yeah, it's kind of disgusting.
But there are other types of disasters which are not so widespread. You could lose your job. I mean, if the main breadwinner lost the job in a household, what do you do? Well, if you've got a month's supply of food, you've got a cushion.
Yes, Doug, and let me tell you, that has actually happened to me and my husband, and it was 2011, the entire year, and he is the major breadwinner of our family, and that entire year it was pretty tough. But I will tell you that just with emergency preparedness and that sort of thing, that we were able to buckle down and tighten up, you know, and we didn't lose our house. We were able to, you know, keep the house, and it was difficult, but let me tell you, looking back, I'm just so grateful that was, that we had that stuff to fall back on.
What we're hoping to preach here isn't going off to an extreme. It's going back to basics, looking mm-hmm. at the way our grandparents lived during the Great Depression. The idea that they put up for themselves, they took care of each other, they understood that things were bad, they could get worse, but they were praying that they would get better. And as they prepared for that, they kept their families together, and they created the greatest generation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we should be going back to. We should be going back to a time when we looked at what was going around, we pulled together, we installed family values in our kids, we gave them a task that was useful, and we create the next greatest generation. And the way we're going to do it is by being ready today.
Well said, Doug. Well said. Well, this has definitely been a whole lot of fun. This was our first broadcast for the Ready Radio, and I have had a wonderful time with you, Doug, and I am just really looking forward to the next ones that we have coming up. We have some awesome topics. This today was just kind of an overview, a brief little overview of kind of what we're looking at, and we have some awesome topics with emergency preparedness in general. And we are Ready Radio, and you can check us out at readyradio.net. Again, if you want to hear this again, if you hear it and you're like, oh, I know exactly who needs to hear that, you can forward it to your friends and family. Also, we have a place for questions. If you have questions, we are very excited to get those, and we will be answering those in our next coming up broadcast.
Also, on the website, we're going to have links to the True Prep product of the week. We're going to have some of the pictures. I'll try to get up the picture from the Adairsville thing. We're looking really forward to seeing all of you back next week. We're going to be on every Thursday at noon, right before Mike Huckabee. Thank you all for listening. You've been listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
You've been listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by True Prep. For all your prepping needs, visit True Prep online at truprep.com or visit a True Prep store in Roswell or Marietta. Tune in each week as Doug and Amy get you ready for anything that comes your way. Ready Radio, Thursdays at noon, only on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.